Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches. And we begin by the two dots that's four lines from the top. We quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chaya v'ov v'chulei. If you have a chaya, which is a non-domesticated animal, or an ov, which is a bird, obviously, so what is the status of them in regards to their hides, in terms of their or? So, Omer Rav Huna says, Kosin tfilin agabe or shel ov tohar. You can go and write tfilin. You need to make tfilin from the hide, the skin of a kosher animal, as we'll see. So a kosher bird is perfectly good to write tfilin on. This is, in fact, brought down by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Huna tells us that you could make a pair of tfilin. The hide of the bird could be used to write the klaf for the tfilin. Gemara questions and says, Rav Yosef, what's the chiddush of Rav Huna? My Kamashna, what's he teaching us over here? It says beferish in the Mishnah that if you do a chavala, if you do a wound on a chay or an ov, so you're chayev over here for being chova, you're chayev a chata. So obviously, the only way you can be chayev, we said by the Shmona Shrotzim in yesterday's shir, was if it has an or. So therefore, my Kamashna, what is Rav Huna telling us? He's an Amori. He wouldn't be telling us something that's obvious from the Mishnah. He's telling us this lior, that a chay and an ov, a bird, in the chayos, they have or, so it's obvious. Tanina, we said in our Mishnah, hachovu ben chayev. If somebody goes and makes a chavola on a chayo or on an ov, so then that's an issa deraisa. So obviously they have or. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye tells his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, notice a big chiddush over here. Tuva kamash b'lon. Rav Huna is in fact giving us a huge chiddush over here because he says if we only had our Mishnah alone, which said that you're being chovel. Chay of, you're going to be chay v'chatas. If we only had that, even mas nisan, you know what I would have said? Hava mina kivan de isbe nikve nikve lo. I would have said, you know what? There are holes. Why are there holes in the hide of the skin of a chicken? Let's say in the skin of a bird, a kosher bird, because they have feathers and they pluck the feathers. Every time you pluck the feather, there's like a follicle, a hole that's left behind in the skin. That's called the nikve nikve. Rashi says makom moshav notza. That's where the feathers are coming from. So I would have said alone, yeah, okay, it's a hide in terms of chavala and Shabbos. However, certainly you can't draw a tefillin, you can't make a cloth from such a hide. So Gemara says, Kabash Shulon, Rav Huna is telling us a huge chiddush over here. It's what they learned in Eretz Yisrael, Kedamri B'Marava, Kol Nekev Shehadiyo Overis Olav. Whenever you have a hole in a parchment, it could be a problem. Parchment is not allowed to have a hole in it. However, if the hole is so small that when you write with ink over it, the ink, so to say, fills up the parchment, and there isn't a hole left, so then, ain't no Nekev. It's not considered halachically a Nekev, and it's a perfectly good cloth. So to over here, with a cloth that you could make from the hide, the skin of a bird, so those little holes that are made, the follicles where you plucked out the feathers, so they'll get filled in with the ink, and they're not considered halachically significant holes. Now, Meisvei Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira says, Bichnofov. Pasuk tells us in regards to an olas of, right? We have two types of birds, the Torah and the Ben Yonah, and you can bring with them two types of bird offerings, a korban chatas and a korban ola. So here, this pasuk tells us over here, Bichnofov, it tells us you are going to bring the entire olas of, including Bichnofov, with its feathers. Now, that pasuk tells us lahakshir esar that in fact you do go and bring along with the rest of the bird, even the skin, the feathers. Rashi explains in Dibra Masu Bichnofov. He's dealing here again, as I mentioned, Bola Saov Mishtoi. That's what we're talking about when you do the shisua shiyishisenu. But old knofov bo, when you do the processing of the olas ha'ov, which involves various actions with the blood, pressing out of the blood, spritzing of the blood, now the word that we have in Rashi is umaktim, it should be umaktir, it says on the side, umaktir knofov, and you go, and in addition to the rest of the bird, you do the knofov, kol kanfei haguf. They also go up on the mizbeach. So therefore, in this situation, why do I need a pasuk? If it's a given that this is or, so hechi marbile kra. So then, why would I need a pasuk to tell me this? We don't put up by an olas behema. We bedafka flay the animal. You do everything goes on the mizbeach kulo toktar, but everything but the hide, everything but the skin. So shouldn't that be the same thing by the bird? That's Rav Zeira's question. So Gemara says no. Amalei Abaye responds to Rav Zeira and he says no. Orhu. it is considered or, and that's exactly why you need a pasuk Rachmana Rabbi to say that this is different than the Olas Behema. The Olas Behema, you have to do Hefshet V'nituach. You have to flay the animal, then cut up the component parts and put them on the Mizbeach without the hide. And I would have said that would be the default process by the bird as well. That's why you need a pasuk Bilchonofof to tell us that that's not the case. That's version number one. Version number two is going to come to the same conclusion, but just comes to it with a different way. Ika the Amri, others said that instead of Rav Zeira asking a question, Meisvei Rav Zeira, others had to give some Mosi Rav Zeira, instead of Rav Zeira asking a question over here, Rav Zeira is bringing a proof. Again, we're going to come to the same conclusion. Om Rav Zeira, Af Anan Nami Tanina, we also support this statement of Rav Huna with the following Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Bich Knofov, that you have to bring the Olas Ov along with its Knofov, along with its hide, along with its skin, the feathers. L'rabo says, or, to come to include the Or. Now, why would I need a pasuk to tell me to come to include the Or? Iyamis B'shlamo Oru, if you're telling me that it's Or, and normally the default position would be that Or is not brought on the Mizbeach for an Ola. Oh, I knew the Itzdrich Krol Rabuya. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me to bring it up. But if it wasn't Or, Eliyamis Lav Orhu, so then why would I need a pasuk to tell me it's brought on the Mizbeach? If it's not Or, then it's going to be Basr. And all the Basr is brought up on the Mizbeach. Am I Yitzchak called Rabuya? Why would I need a pasuk? Oh, Haraya, that it must in fact be Or, and I need a pasuk to be Marbet that this Or goes on the Mizbeach. So Amalei Abayabai says, Lav Davka. Lo Olam, Emel Lechok, in fact, I can tell you, Lav Oru. No, really, if it wasn't for Rav Huna, I would say that it's not considered Or in regards to the Mizbeach. V'Yitzchak, and I need a pasuk anyway. Why would I need a pasuk if it's not Or? Because so could I Techaminech, I might have said that, you know what, Kivan the Isbe Pirtsi Pirtsi, because it has all these holes in it. The Rashi says it's the same thing as the Nikveh Nikveh that we said before. I'm not sure why we use a different term for it. In any event, Hainu Nikveh. So it has these Pirtsi Pirtsi. So Mayas, one might have thought that this is something that is disgusting to put up on the Mizbeach. Oh, Kamash Balan. That's why you need a pasuk. So you can't bring me a Raya over here from Rav Zeira. In any event, those are the two different versions that we have of the Gemara. First one was Rav Zeira asking a question. The second one was Rav Zeira trying to bring a proof. And according to the second version, we don't end up bringing a riot. The first version, we ended up saying, no, it's a good riot. Okay. Now, Gemara says, what about other types of animals, their skin? So, boy, my name, Mar Berei de Ravina, Mir of Nachmar Yitzhak. Mar, who is the son of Ravina, he asked the following question of Nachmar Yitzhak. Ma'ulach tol tefillin agabi or shel dog tohar. What about writing tefillin on a trout, on the skin of a trout, on the skin of a kosher fish? Is that acceptable or not to make the klaf? So we'll see. We haven't learned this drush yet. We'll see later on. It always is talking about a kosher animal. So whether it was a kosher chaya or ov, or whether it's a kosher fish, we'll see it's always talking about a kosher fish. So he's asking the question, can you take the skin of a fish and make that into the klaf for tefillin? So Amar lo, Nachman Yitzchak responded, and he said, no, we'll have to wait till Eliyahu comes, teiku. We'll wait till Eliyahu comes, and he will give us the answer. That's a very strange response. Normally we say teiku after we have a whole discussion back and forth, and we can't come to a resolution. Here he's just saying, that we can't figure out what the answer is, teiku. So, my im yovo Eliyahu, what exactly is Nachman Yitzchak saying over here when he says, we have to wait till Eliyahu comes? Ilema, is he saying, id isli or, we need Eliyahu to come to tell us, yes, it does have skin, or no, it doesn't have skin, it's considered halachically or it's not considered halachically or. So that's been asked and answered. Ho chazin on this li'or, we can see for ourselves that it does have a skin. And number two, vot hotnan, we learned beferish in a Mishnah. The Mishnah and Kalim discusses Tumah and Tara, and certain things can protect from Tumah, only something that in and of itself is not makabel tumah can protect in tumas hames inside of an ohel. As Rashi brings down over here in Dibra Masel Votnan, Atzmos Hadog Va'oru Matzilim Yohel Meis, so he teaches Lefisha Ein Makabel Tumah, that the bones of a fish or the hide of a fish, the skin of a fish, they themselves don't accept tumah. And he brings down the Raises from Torah's Kohanim and from the Gemara in Chulin. In any event, so we see over here, it says Atzmos Hadog Va'oru Matzilim Yohel Meis, that the skin of the fish, and the bones as well, they do protect from tumah in ohel meis. So if the meis is there and you have this chatzitza, you have this interposition between the meis and the person or the item using this atzmos hadog or the hide of the dog, So you see that, in fact, it is considered a significant thing. It is considered art. So what are we waiting for Eliyahu to tell us it's art? We have A, our own eyes, and B, we can see for ourselves from the Mishnah that it is over here able to be called art, and it protects. So the Gemara says, you're right. So what are we waiting for Eliyahu to tell us? Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Elo, im yovo Eliyahu v'yomar, I poska zua maminei, he's going to tell us, does it still have a odor to it? Does it have the zuama? Does it have a foul smell over here or not that makes it possible for tefillin to write the klaf or not? That's what he's coming to tell us. Now, the Mepharshim ask a very interesting question over here. They say, well, we could also see that for ourselves. We'll take the sniff test. And does it smell bad? So then we won't use it. Does it not smell bad? Then we will use it. So what exactly is the Gemara's answer over here that we have to tell, have Eliyahu come and tell us, does it stink or does it not stink? So I saw in the Menachem Eshev Nefesh, she brings down a beautiful, beautiful idea that this is a metaphysical answer that we're asking from Eliyahu. There's a zuhama that was put into the world by the sin of the Nochosh HaKadmoni. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so that instilled a certain zuama into the world that arose from the Nochosh HaKadmoni, from the snake that enticed Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, who then gave it to Adam. And this zuama, this stench, it's a spiritual stench, was put into the world at that time, and it was removed on Har Sinai. When we received the Torah on Har Sinai, so then all the creatures that were at Har Sinai also had their zuama removed from them. But the Menachem Meshev Nefri says the fish didn't go to Har Sinai. So the question that we're asking Eliyahu is, was the stench that was removed, the zuama that was removed from all of us on Har Sinai, did that include the animals that were not at Har Sinai or only the animals that were at Har Sinai? That's the question that the Menachem Meshev Nefri says is being asked over here. That there's no way for us to take out a sniff test and go and see if the stench is there. That's a metaphysical type of a stench that we need Eliyahu to come and tell us is a zuama there or not. Beautiful explanation. Mara tells us an interesting story now. Shmuel the Karna. Shmuel the great Shmuel, he was a doctor, as we'll see from this story, and Karna, one of the other great Amoraim. Havu Yasve Aguda de Nahar Malko. They were once sitting together, them stumble learning, at the river bank of the river of known as Nahar Malka. Fine. Now, Chazinu, they saw Lamaya, that the water of this river, the Kodolu, it was lifting up, the Achire, and it was very muddy, like it was very, very turbid. Now, Amale Shmuel Akarna, Shmuel, who was a huge Talmud Chacham and a very, very wise man, said to Karna, it must be why the water is rising over here. So he assumed, Gavra Rabba Kaosimi Marava, there must be a great person coming here from Eretz Yisrael on the waters in a boat. And the Chayish Bmei, he obviously has some huge GI upset. His stomach is really in turmoil. It is really, really bothering him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace. The Kodolu Maya, the water is lifting up. Liakbule Ape Kamei, to so to say, greet him, to meet him. The Mepharshim bring down over here, you can see this in Rashi, Lasos Mechitza Sviva, to make a Mechitza around him. Kishu Nifne, he would go to the bathroom, his stomach was bothering so much, his stomach had diarrhea, whatever. Al Dofane Svein, he went to the side of the boat. They didn't have bathrooms on the boat, so they'd have to go over the side of the boat. So he would stay by the side of the boat. He'd have to reveal himself, Shol Yira Giluyav. So he wouldn't be revealed and open in this very embarrassed position. So the water, so to say, rose and gave him a mechitza. Or alternatively, Rashi says in Yinacher Lekaneach, that this was like a bidet. This the waters functioned in a way to go and help clean him from his filth. So therefore, that's what Shmuel told Karna, that's what's happening with the waters over here. He could see the turmoil in the waters. So he told Karna, let's see if this is really true, see if he's a real big Talmud Chacham, like I said. Zil Taile Akanke. Go and smell, go take the sniff test on his barrels, on his kankan, to see, in other words, Rashi says, is he a Talmud Chacham? Heriach bo bekankano im yayin hu, o hichmetz. Go and see if this Talmud Chacham, because of his gastrointestinal troubles, maybe he's lost his learning. Obviously, Shmuel knew that such a nace would not have occurred if he wasn't at one time a Talmud Chacham, but he said, go and see if he still is a Talmud Chacham, or if this GI upset has caused him to, in some way, lose his status of being a Talmud Chacham. That's one way to learn all of this. The Tosos over here brings down a different pshat. Tosos says that what did Shmuel see? Shmuel had heard that Adam Gadol Hayabah B'Svina, that a great man is coming. The Yada Shmuel, Sheyishtem in Anar, also Adam Gadol, he said he would drink from this waters of this river. When we told Kach Yichosh B'Meyav, and he said he's going to get a parasitic infection over here for drinking the water. He's going to get Montezuma's revenge. He's going to get a problem over here with drinking of the water. He saw that these waters were dirty waters. And when this great Talmud Chacham would drink the waters, it would cause him to have stomach upset. And therefore, Shmuel was an expert doctor, so therefore he told Karna, Zil Toile B'Kankine, go and sniff out his barrels. In other words, Pirish Tira Imhu Chochem, see if he's a Talmud Chochem, V'Roy L'Chavdo. And it's Roy for me to go do a house call. In other words, bring him over here, Avienu Lebesi, Vesel Rufu, and I'll go take care of him. If he's a big Talmud Chochem, I'll go out of my way to take care of him. V'Chavdenu, and I'll give him great kavod, L'fi Mashu Roy Lo, according to what he deserves. That's the way Tosus understands this. In any event, Karina goes to greet Rav. This great Talmud Chochem was Rav. Ozul Ashkel Rav. So he goes to meet him. So he wants to go do what Shmuel said. Test out to see if he's a Talmud Chacham. So on the way, she said, Minayin Shein Kotzvin Tefillin El Agabi Or Behema Tohora. How do we know that in fact a person should only write tefillin that are made from the kosher animal's hides? Not a treif animal, not a non-kosher animal's hides. A treif was the wrong word. It really should say from a tmeya, from a non-kosher. We use the terminology tmeya to say a non-kosher species like pig or horses or camels. Technically, treifa is only a kosher species that no longer is able to be eaten because it has a problem with it. It has one of the yudches treifos. It has an internal blemish or sometimes an external blemish that makes it not kosher to shecht it, but it's a kosher species. So treifa is the wrong word. I should have said tmeya. In any event, he asked him, how do we know that you must have from a kosher species of animal the klaf written for tefillin? Amalei. So Rav answers him back. And again, remember, Rav's an extremist over here. Rav is in great pain. He's suffering from a tremendous GI problems. And yet, Karina is bothering him. And Karina sees that he's in great pain. Nevertheless, Karina is doing what he's supposed to do. But Rav is not going to be happy about this. So Amalei, Rav tells him, Dixiv, the Pasuk says, L'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha. The Pasuk tells us that you'd always have the Torah of Hashem in your mouth. And we darshan over here, Min hamutor b'ficha. You must have something that's permissible to put into your mouth to make the tefillin. That's what it means. So, very good. Rav passed test number one. Karna asked him another question. Minayin l'dam, shu'a dam. How do we know that blood is red? Now, this sounds like a klutz kasha, but what he's asking is, how do we know that there are certain types of blood that are going to be metame, anida, aziva? How do we know that these types of blood are red? The Gemara in Nida has a whole discussion about different colors, and it talks about black, and it talks about red, it talks about browns and other colors. So he's asking him, how do we know that the blood of Nida is red that makes the blood Nida? Shenema. So Rav answers him, and he says, Vayiru mo'ov mineged es hamayim adumim kadam. The background over here in the Gemara of Melachim is Yehoshaphat was the Melech in Yisrael, and he was looking for a Navi. He found Elisha, and there was a battle that they were waging against their enemies, and Moab saw mineged es hamayim. They saw the water from a distance, and they thought it was red like blood. That's how we see. And therefore they attacked Klai Yisrael won, and that's the background over here. But the bottom line is, it says that they saw adumim kadam. Oh, that's how Rav answered him, that we know that red is considered the color of blood. Okay. The third question the Karna asks is, minayin lemilo shebosumokum. How do we know that the bris milah is done in the place where bris milah is done? On the orla of the git. So the Gemara says, Rav answers him as follows. Nemar kan orloso. It says in regards to bris milah that it has to be orloso. Right, it uses the full language orla so, and then it says in regards to orla by fruits in the first 3 years they considered orla the name of an orla so. So in regards to a fruit tree, it also uses the full lashon over here orla so. Now, malahalan davar shosapri, just like by the orla, it's talking about something that a tree that produces fruit. That's only the trees that have the din of orla. So too avkan davar shosapri, it must be that the orla so on the human body, it must be the place where procreation occurs. It makes peri. So therefore, that's how we know through the Xerishov of Orlaso that the Orla of Bris Mila is from the Gid, the area where a man makes Zera. So Gemara says, Karna said, who says? Emo libo. Maybe it means over here that you should do the circumcision on your heart, because we have a pasuk there. Dirsiv, umaltem es orlas levavchem. You shall cut away the orla of your heart. Or emo oznom. Maybe it means by the ear. Dirsiv, hine are lo oznom. Your ear has an orla too. So how do you know that it means by the bris milah site, by the gid, and not by the heart or by the ears? That's what Karna asked Rav. How do you know to make the zereshava or lasso from the fruit to the gid? Maybe it means something else. So Gemara says, Rav responds as follows. Donin orloso tama, with the full word orloso, the complete word, is also me orloso tama. We learn it out. The word, when you make a zereshava, if you can do it exactly, always do it exactly. Vein donin orloso tama, me orlas she'eno tama. The other words, by the heart, it says orlas. By the ear, it says are la. Doesn't use the term orloso. So if you have to make a zereshava, we make the exact zereshava orloso, rather than make it a partial Xeru Shava, so to say. So Rav passed the test. He got 100 on the Faher. He answered all three of the questions that Karna asked him. But now Rav was an extremist, as I said. So Amalei, my Shmecha, what's your name? What do they call you, Karna? So Karna told him, Karna. So Rav was very upset because he thought acted totally inappropriately. So Amalei, he said, hey Rav, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that Tepuk lay Karna Be'enei, that you should have a Karna, a play on his word, on his name, you should have a Karen, a horn, growing out of your eye. In other words, you should get what we would call a cataract or something like that. The Ran brings down that he Bedavka only said in one eye. He didn't want to go blind. And he brings down as well from the Ben Yehuda this same idea. And Rav was being merciful on him, but at the same time, Rav was very, very unhappy with the way Karna acted. And Rav said this. Now, Rav couldn't be held accountable for this. He was in such pain. So Mefarshim bring down from Ben Yehuda as well, that if a person is in pain, you can't go and expect him to act in the normal way. The pain, so to say, is a mitigating factor as to why somebody may not act in the most proper fashion. And indeed, the Ben Yehuda says that this was Mida Keneged Mida, that Karna saw how much pain Rav was in, and he didn't do anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, if you're not using your eyes properly, I'm going to take them away. Okay, again, very difficult for us to understand. We just bring down some of the words of the Mefarshim, but it's a very difficult story to understand. What did poor Karna do? Karna was just following what Shmuel said. So in some way, Karna was wrong, however, for not realizing the pain that Rav was in, first to make him comfortable, and then go and faher him. He didn't have to faher him right then and there. Okay, in any event, we just had the third question, was the Orla, this actually is a machlokas. Rav gave one answer, but not everybody agrees with that answer. And this, in fact, is a kitanoi. This is a machlokas tanoim. We'll have one tana that says exactly like Rav, but we'll have another tanoic opinion that brings a different source for how we know that the bris mila is on the gid. Minayin the mila shabo somokum. The Brisa says, how do we know that the mila is done in the place where the mila is done? So the first teretz is the teretz that Rav gave. Ne'amar kan orloso. In regards to the bris milah, it says the full word orloso, v'nemar lahalon orloso, and it says in regards to orla, by the fruit trees, that the first 3 years, they're orloso, so too. Malan dovish osepri, just like the orla by the fruits is something that produces fruit, so too, avkan dovish osepri, by the bris milah, it must be from the place where a person procreates. So therefore, that's the Gzeri Shava that Rav gave, and this is Divrei Rav Yoshia. This is the Tana of Yoshia, and that's the Tanoic opinion that holds like Rav. Then we have another opinion that says, no, that's not the right drasha. Rabbi Nosson Meir, hey, no, tzarech, I don't need this Gzeri Shav over here, because we have a different drasha. Harry Omer, the Pasuk itself tells us, V'orel Zohar, the Orla of a Zohar, Asher Le'yimol is Besar L'so, who doesn't do a Bris Mila. So the Gemara says, Mokum Shenika Ben Zachu Sanakvus, where do you do the Bris Mila? Where you tell the difference between a man and a woman. That's by the genital area. So therefore, that's where the Bris Mila is done. That's what Rabbi Nosson says. He doesn't need the pasuk, the drasha of orloso that Rabbi Yoshua did. Fine. Since the machlokas tanoim, actually, how do we know that the bris milah is done in the place where it's done? Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, kosin tefillin al gabi or behema Torah. Now we go back to the first question. How do we know the tefillin has to be from a kosher animal? So the Brisa tells us that you must write the tefillin on the cloth that came from a behema that was tahora. or Valgabi or Chaya Torah, or on a Chaya Torah. Again, the behemoths are the three domesticated kosher animals, the deer, the goats, sheep, and the cows, and the deer family, etc. Those are from the Chayas, the antelopes, the ibex, maybe the giraffe, as I always say. So all of these are the Chayas. And any one of these 10 kosher animals that are listed in the Psukim, in Shmini, and in Re'eh, so these 10 kosher animals, you can write tefillin on their hides. So Agabi or Chaya, or Agabi or Behema, or Gabi or Nevelus or Trefishland, even if it wasn't Shechted, even if it's a Nevela or a Trefa. A Nevela is the animal died without Shechita. A Trefa is, even if you did Shechita on it, there was a Trefa, there was a blemish inside or outside, one of the Yudches Trefos, that makes it not able to be eaten, but it comes from a kosher species. That's still good. V'nichrochus b'saran, and you can use the hairs of these kosher animals, behemos or chayos, to go and tie the tefillin. You need to have certain hairs in different places on the tefillin to tie the tefillin together. And as far as begidin, likewise, they're sewn together with certain gidin. Gidin, I always tell you, is not a medical term. There is no term for gidin. It was translated as sinews. It basically means anything that goes from point A to point B. Sometimes it could be an artery, a vein, a nerve, a ligament, a muscle. So it has various terminologies what these gidin mean. In any event, they needed to sew up also parts of the tefillin. So, and this is halacha l'moshe b'sinai. The last two are halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Shatfillin l'chrochos b'saran v'nisparos b'gidin. These two are halacha l'moshe b'sinai. The first one, as we've learned, is a drasha from ha-mutar b'ficha. Fine. However, the Brisa says, you're not allowed to go and write tefillin on the hide of a non-kosher animal, whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. You can't take a horse, you can't take a lion, you can't write tefillin on their hides. Certainly, and certainly, if they weren't shechted, if they died as an avela, or they have internal trefus, you certainly can't use those. You can't use the intact ones, you certainly can't use the nevela trefa ones. And he says, likewise, v'ein nichrochim misarim, you're not allowed to use their hair, v'ein nisparos begidin, you're not allowed to use their gidin, their sinews, in terms of the wrapping or the tying up of the boxes of the tefillin, or around the parchment. Now, that's the brisa. V'zu she'lo shal b'susi echod, it's Rabbi Yeshua Garsi. And this discussion over here that we had was actually a question that a certain one of the people from the Baisusians were Talmidim, they were Tzaddik and Baisus were Talmidim of Antignos Yisocho, and Nebuch, they didn't believe eventually in the Torah she'bal peh. And therefore, they only darshaned the reading of the Torah Shebiksav. So these Baisusim, they were off the derech. So they went, one of these Baisusim went and asked Yeshua Garsi. He's known as Hagarsi because he either came from a place known as Garsi, or that he dealt with, Garsi means grits. So he dealt over here with grits. He's known as Yeshua Hagarsi. That was his profession. In any event, minayin shen kosin tefillin alar behemet meya, he asks, how do we know that you're not allowed to use a non-kosher animal? Oh, take the king of the jungle, take a hide of a lion, that would be a great way to make tefillin. Why not? So Yeshua tells him, no, the pasuk said, that's it, the drasha we already had, l'man tiyah Torah Hashem b'ficha, because the pasuk we darshan says, should have the words of the Torah, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be in your mouth, and it implies, midover hamutor b'ficha, you should make the Sifrei Torah, the tefillin, they should be written on something that is permissible to put in your mouth. No, so Rabbi Susi says, no el mayato, agabi yor nevelos and trefos, ayukar sevu. So then, how are you allowed to write them on a nevela or a trefa kosher animal from the kosher species? So that's a good question. So Amalo, so Yeshua tells him, Yeshua guys, he tells him, emshol chomoshol lemato v'domer. I'll give you an example as to why this should be the case. And listen to this example, beautiful example. If you have two people that were both chayv misa, the king said, off with your head. And one of them, echod harogu melech, the king himself did the killing. The king himself executed the first person. No, the other one, echod harogu ispaklitor. So the second one, Rashi says, the sahatabachim, in Lashon Yuvani, the Greek word for an executioner is aspaklitor. So fine. One of them, the king himself personally executed the guy, and the other one, he let his sarat habochim, his chief executioner, go and execute the guy. So which one you say is the more chashuv a person, the one that the king executed or the one that the Sarhat HaBachim executed? So Ezmi and Meshubach, Hevi Omer, Zeh Sharog HaMelech. It makes sense to say that the one that the king killed is the more important person. The king, so to say, went out of his way to go kill this person, therefore he's the more important person. So the Nimshal, the point is that the king killed this Nevei Lo Treifa, as opposed to the Shaychid who killed the kosher animal. So which is the more chashuv one? The one that the king killed. So therefore the Nevel and the Treifa certainly are good for Tefillin, and will also let you do with the ones that were geshachted. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua Garsi says, that's why you're allowed to use Nevel and Treifa. No, but the Baisus is not stupid. He says, Elamayata, then Yechelu. If you're telling me that's a more heliga type of death, so then Allah has kama v'kama, and Nevel and Treifa you should be able to eat. So Yeshua says to him, don't you know basic pasuk, right? You people are supposed to be knowledgeable about the pasukim, at least, even if you don't know the Torah Sheh Baal Peh. You supposedly claim you know the Torah Sheh B'Ksav. Amalei says, HaTorah Amr, the Torah says, Lo Sochlu, Kol Nevela. That Amr Yochelu. The Torah says, Mefer, you're not allowed to eat those. So, therefore, you're going to tell me to eat it? And the Baisusi was stuck, and he says, Amalei, no, Kolos. Rashi says, Meshubach Tamzeh, you're talking right, you got me, and I'm molded that you're right. Now, Tosus has a very important question over here. He says, in the Dibur Maskel, Ezim and Choshev, he says, Vim Tomar, Tenach, Mesumi, Eleim. Okay, that's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them. So, I understand the animal that died on its own, a natural death, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's killing it. That one, the Baisusi says, well, you should eat it. The Pasuk says, I can't, I got it. However, Nechuros, if you stabbed it, Vakuros, if you did another thing to it, you uprooted it in some way, so humans killed it. So Ma'ikal Meimar. So how come in that situation
you're allowed to use a human killed animal's parchment for tefillin? So that's a very good question. So Tosus answers, Yesh Lomar, Kivan de Mesu Shari. Once we see that an animal that is killed, so to say, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, by the Nevela it's good, through the Moshal and Nimshal of Yeshua Garsi, so then we've already proven that an animal that is dead can be used, even if it's not kosher. So once we've shown that the nevelus can be used, so therefore we need the pasuk hamutar bepicha that comes to teach us as well, any animal from a kosher species that died is going to be good. Okay. That concludes this discussion, and we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein osim hilmi b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make hilmi. What is hilmi? So that's basically salt water, a brine on Shabbos. Turn to the Omer Beis. However, I will also es meha melach, but you are allowed to make salt water. And the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between the hilmi and the mei melach? The tovo behem pito, and likewise, you're allowed to dip your bread into this salt water, not a problem, or v'nosin l'toch ha-shavshel, or you're allowed to add this salt water into your cooked dish. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi asked the obvious question, v'alohu hilmi be meruba be muat. What's the difference between the hilmi, which is salt water, it's a brine, or the mei melach, which you said is good. So there's no difference between them. One is a larger amount, be meruba, or be muat. They're both the same thing. Either you're allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. So he says, ve'eluhei mei melach mutarim. So this is the answer. They're allowed to make the salt water only in the following fashion on Shabbos. No sein shemen lechatchila l'socha mayim. First you put in a little bit of oil into the water, and then you can add the salt, or you put a little bit of the oil into the salt, and then you can add the water. So you're not allowed to mix salt and water together unless you also have oil there first. Rashi explains, in this way it doesn't look like tanning. What's the problem with making salt water? It's used in the tanning process. So therefore, when you put in oil, in addition to the salt and the water, it no longer looks like tanning. When you just have salt and water, so Rashi says, Nira Kimavid, it looks a little bit like you're tanning something. Morris starts off and says, my Kamar, what did the Tanakhama say? I mean, Rav Yossi is a very good point. What's the difference between the Hilmi and the Mei Melach? So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hoch Yomar, this is what the Tanakhama was saying. Enos and Mei Melach Merubin, you're not allowed to make a large amount of the salt water, that's known as the Hilmi. However, Avalosa Mei Melach Muatim, but you're allowed to make a small amount. Again, Rav Yossi didn't like that, but that's what the Tanakhama meant. And Rav Yossi said that. Amar Rav Yossi, Balohu Hilmi Bei Merubin Mei Muatim. It says, what? It's salt water. Either you're allowed to make salt water, or you're not allowed to make salt water. So Gemara says, what was Rav Yossi coming to do over here? Rav Yossi, was Rav Yossi coming to be more machmir than Tanakhama and saying that, well, you can't allow any type of salt water to be made? Or was he saying, since there's no difference between a large amount and a small amount, you're allowed to make the salt water? That's the question. Was he coming to be more machmir, lesser, or lahatir, or actually to permit it? So I'm a Rav Yehuda, the Amora Rav Yehuda said, lahatir. The Rav Yosef was coming to be makel over here. Because if he was coming to be machmir, he would have just said, it's osur. Midalok tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't say that it's osur. He said, what difference is there between a large amount and a small amount? Implying that it's mutter. That's the opinion of the Amora Rav Yehuda. However, Rabbah says otherwise. Omele Rabbah, no. Ha-miktani sefer, keep on reading. It says, Be'eluhein mei melech mutar. It's only if you do the mei melech in the following way, by putting in the oil, that it's good. That implies, Mechal Rav Yossi lesser, that Rav Yossi is coming to be more machmir than the Tanakama. And therefore, Eloma Rabbah, Rabbah says, Rav Yossi is coming lesser to be more machmir than the Tanakama. V'chein omer Yochanan lesser. And Rav Yochanan said the same thing. And Tani Nami Hochi, we have a braisa that says the same thing. Ein osi mei melech merubi. You're not allowed to make a large amount of the salt water. Lase sasoch hakevoshin, shebesoch gistra. To go and pickle vegetables inside a broken container. Gistra, we said, it's like a shard of pottery. So you're not allowed to go and add salt water to this. Aval osu me melech muatim, but that's a large amount you can't do. A small amount you're allowed to do. And v'ocha b'hem pito, and you can dip your bread into this, like as a spread. V'nosin l'socha tafsha, or you can add a little bit of this salt water into your food. That's the Tanakhama's opinion in the Braisa. And again, that was the Tanakhama over here in our Mishnah. And along comes Rav Yossi in the Braisa, just like he did in the Mishnah. And he says, what are you talking about? How do you make a difference over here just based upon the amount? Just because there's a large amount over here, why should that be permissible? And there's a small, not permissible, and there's a small amount, why should it be permissible? He says, that doesn't make any sense. The large amount, that's also, well, if you make a little bit, that's mutter. Is that true by any other malacha? Yomu malacha merub asura. If I'm writing a lot, that's asur. However, malacha muetis muteris. If I write a little bit, that's allowed. Doesn't make any sense. Ella, Rav Yossi says, Ella elu v'elu asurin hein. You're not allowed to make salt water. We make a large amount or a small amount. As we just said, Tani Nami Yochi l'asar. Rav Yossi is coming to be machmir on the Tanakama. Elu v'elu asurin hein. No, what type of salt water is permitted? How do you make salt water in a permissible way on Shabbos? You have to do it with oil to show that it's not part of the tanning process. No, in shemen or melach, you have to put in the oil into the salt, or shemen umaim, or put the oil into the water, and then add the other ingredient. But you can't make just salt and water together. That's also in a small amount and certainly in a large amount. You're not allowed to go do this. Now we have a simon. We just learned the other day how important it is to say these simonim from a kind of mitzvah that Chazal was teaching us that you should always make mnemonics. So azin, tznon, the esrog, simon. What is this simon? We'll see in a moment. Tomorrow it's going to talk about making something very strong. That's azin. Tznon is a radish, and esrog will be a din in esrog. So the Gemara tells us the following brisa. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva has taught the following brisa. Ain osim me melech azin. You're not allowed to make very strong salt water on Shabbos. Gemara says, my me melech azin. What do you mean by very strong salt water? So Rabbi Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, the Amri Tavayu. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef bar Abba said the same thing. Kol shabetsa tzofobed. If an egg is able to float in the salt water. The water is so salty, like the Dead Sea, for example, so everything floats in it, as we'll see in the Gemara itself. So therefore, that is too salty. That you're not allowed to make on Shabbos, but less than that, you're allowed to make on Shabbos. No, how much salt is that? Bekama, how much salt does it take to make an egg float? So Amar Abaye, Trei Tilse Milcha. The formula is 2/3 of the ingredients are salt, and 1/3 is water. If you put in that much salt, the egg will float. You're not allowed to make it that salty on Shabbos. That's what Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva taught us in this brisa. No, why would somebody do this? Lamai of delay. Why would you make such a strong concoction over here? What's the purpose of that? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, Lemur Yosa. They would use this for pickling of a fish. They would make this over here for the brine that they would go and make fish in. Okay. Now, we have another brisa. This siman over here is three statements of Yehuda bar Chaviva. He was not a very well-known Tana, and therefore, we lump all of the statements that he made together. We often find that when we have a Tana who's not written so many times in Shas, so we'll put his statements together and make it easier for us to remember. So, Tani Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, the second brisa that he taught us is as follows. Ein molchin tznon u'beitz b'shabbos. You're not allowed to go and salt a tznon, which is a radish, or a beitz, which is an egg, on Shabbos. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. The Gemara continues and says, Rav Chizkiya mishmei da bayamar. No. Tznon is asur. However, ubeitza muteris. You're not allowed to salt the radish. However, you are allowed to go and salt the beitza. Now, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva allow this? So Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva didn't allow this because, as Rashi brings down in Dibur Masel, ein molchin stone ubeitza, because gimel v'dalel chatichos yachad shamelech ma'abdan v'nasin koshin very tikkun. He says when you do them all together, it's a little bit like a tikkun over here. It makes them harder, and that you're not allowed to do it. And Rav Chizkiya says that that's only true for the tznon, but isn't true for the egg. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Merei shavim molchana pugla." Originally, Rav Nachman said, "I would in fact go and salt the radishes on Shabbos because I said, Amina afsude ko mafsidno le. I thought I was in fact ruining it. I thought that by salting it, it actually wasn't doing something positive for it. It was ruining it." The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel had said, "Pugla churfe maale," because Shmuel, who's a doctor, had said that these radishes, if they're churfe, if they're sharp, it's better, it's more healthy, and therefore the salt somehow reduces the sharpness, and therefore is not a positive thing, and therefore I wasn't improving it, I thought it was okay. However, keeping the Shemana law, when I heard, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over in Bavel, he said, b'marava molche kishrei kishrei, in Eretz Yisrael, they would go and do this. Tilin givoin eagle al eagle. They would pile up high piles and piles of salt on top of the radishes. So I therefore said, I'm no longer going to do this. Mimlach no malachda. I won't do the salt thing like they did in Eretz Yisrael because it's obviously improving it, and therefore I won't do that. However, tibuli vade matbilda. I will go and dip it into the salt. That's allowed. Rashi says he wouldn't do shtayim biyachad. He wouldn't do two together. He would do individually. Each one. And at the time of eating it, bishas achila matbilino viachilna. He would go and do it one by one. Okay. Now, the third statement that we have, the mnemonic was the esrog. So Tani Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva said about an esrog, esrog tznon ubeisa. He said, the esrog tznon ubeisa, il mole kliposon hachitzona, if it wasn't for the fact that they had an outer shell, Einon yotzim mibnei me'ayim liolam. They would never leave the stomach. Rashi explains, the beitza hi hachelbon, the egg, he's talking about the white part of the egg. El aidi, the toni bahad, the esrog utznon, klipa, since the esrog and the tznon have more of a real peel, so he also calls this a peel in regards to the egg as well. So he's not talking about the hard shell, he's talking about the white, the chelbon of the egg. So he says they never leave the mibnei me'ayim. Rashi says, shemis kashwin, they combine there, umis kashin, and they get hardened over there in its arm, and they would stop a person up. So it's a good thing, he says, that they have their outer shells that somehow prevents this from happening. Again, very difficult for us to understand exactly what this refers to. Gemara says, Ki also Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said, Amami olam lo tova gavra biyama the stone. Since we're talking about how the beitza over here floated on salt water, so now we discuss a body of salt water that is especially salty. The Yam HaMelech is the most salty water in the entire world. I think it's 8 times more salty than a regular ocean. And Rav Dimi said that nobody ever drowned in the Yam HaMelech. It's impossible to drown there. A person's going to float, no matter, even if you don't know how to swim. Rashi explains that the high salt content makes it impossible for a person. It doesn't allow a person to sink, and therefore nobody can drown. Amar Yosef Rosh says, Hafucha Sodom. The city of Sodom was, of course, uprooted at a time of Avram and Lot. So Rav Yosef says, just like the city of Sodom was uprooted, Hafucha Sodom, Hafucha Mila. And your statement is also something that should be turned upside down. Why is that? Gavrahu de lo tova, kishura tova, you seem to imply that only a person isn't going to sink. But a plank of wood, kishura tova, a plank of wood is able to sink? Rashi says, Loshon Bismia. He says, if something that normally can float in water, like wood, will float in a regular ocean, so certainly it won't sink in the Yam HaMelech. So Amalei Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Lomi Bar Kamar. What Rav Dimi said was a Lomi Boya. It's a style that the Gemara has. Lomi Bar, you didn't have to tell me, Kshura, that a board, a plank, isn't going to sink. It doesn't sink in a regular ocean. Certainly it's not going to sink in the Yam HaMelech. His chiddush was, Ela Afilu Gabri, even a person who was sinking in the rest of the ocean, the Tova B'chol Meimos Shabolim, Nebuch, a person could drown, B'yamu Distam Lo Tova, he won't sink in the Yam HaMelech. No, the Mainaf Kamina. Why do we need to know this? So Gemara says, Kiyo the Rabin. This is important because of something that happened to Rabin. Habashakil v'ozil achorei de Rav Yirmi. He was once going traveling along with Rav Yirmiyah, and he was behind Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah is the Rebbe, so he was a little bit behind the Rebbe. And they were going Aguda de Yam HaSodom, they were by the banks of the Yam HaMelech, of the Dead Sea. Amalei, so he asked Rav Yirmiyah, Mahu lemimshe mehani mai b'Shabbos, is one allowed to go and wash himself with this type of salt water on Shabbos? Now, what's the problem? Rashi explains, Mi osur mishum refuah. Is this considered medicinal? And the rabbis gozer rabbanim b'chol refuos b'Shabbos. For a chola that isn't a chola sheyesh bo sakana, for somebody who's not in a life-threatening situation, you're not allowed to use refuah on Shabbos. Because of the gzera mishum shechika samamon. We had this many times that we're concerned that if we allow you to take refuah, you may come to grind and do all the making of the refuah. And these waters, Elu Mirapos is Ayin. So we questioned, are you allowed to go put the salt water from the Yam HaMelech on your eyes? That's what Ravin asked Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah said, Amalei, Shabbat Dami, it's absolutely allowed to do this, Rashi says, because the Lav Muchacha Milsa, the refuah of it. Nobody realizes you're doing this for refuah purposes. Even though Alpha Pisha Mirapin, even though it does cause refuah purposes, Shari, it's allowed, because the Tama de refuah, the Asira, less El Gzera. The whole reason you're not allowed to do refuah is because of the Gzera of Shchika Sammanim, Shami Yishchok Sammanim, the Dome of the Trina, and that's a tolda of grinding, which is an Abbalacha. And therefore, we don't allow you to do that. But here, it's not recognizable that you're doing this for refuah purposes and it's allowed. Okay? So that was question number one. Question number two, Ma'u Lemei Matzul Miftach, is one allowed to open and close his eyes in this water? That maybe looks a little bit more like you're doing it for refuah purposes. So Amalei, so Rav Yirmiyah says, this I never heard. Zulo Shamati. However, Kayoti Bashamati, but I heard something similar to this. Rashi says, the Hecho de Muchacha Milsa the refuah of it. Also, if it's clear and recognizable that you're doing it for refuah purposes, in another situation, I heard that you're not allowed to do this. The Amar Rav Zeira, because I heard that Rav Zeira said, Zimnim Amalei Mishmei de Rav Masna. Sometimes he said it over the name of Masna. Zimnim Amalei Mishmei de Marukva. Sometimes he said it over the name of Marukva. The Tavayu, whichever one said it, either Rav Masna or Marukva, they both, whichever one said it, Tavayu Mishmei de Avud Shmuel, the Levi Amrin. They both said it over in the name of Avud Shmuel and Levi. Now, what did they say? Chadamar, either was Abu Dishmuel or was Levi said, Yayin besoch ayin osu. You're not allowed to put wine inside your eyes. That's clear that you're doing it for refuah purposes, and therefore, that's the gzeiro, shchikas samamanim. However, al gav ayin mutter, but to put it near the eye, on top of the eye, and then it will drip down to the eye, that is allowed. Why? Because Rashi says, the amri l'ruchitza b'yam avdi, people think he's just washing his face, and they're not going to say he's doing it for medicinal purposes. That's what one of them said. The other one said, the chadamar, rok tofel, the saliva that comes in the tofel state, Rashi says, shalotam klum mishenayar mishnah. So this type of saliva that's on an empty stomach, you haven't eaten anything, so this type of saliva is a very strong saliva, and here, rok tofel afilo algava ayinos. You certainly can't put it in the eye because then it would clearly be for medicinal purposes. But even on top of the eye, nobody would wash themselves with this. Rashi says, the muchamus a little refuah. Everybody would see that you're doing this for refuah because for rechitza purposes, it would be disgusting. And that's why he says specifically this rok tofel. Lefishu chosok umarpe. It clearly is somehow very strong and it's medicinal. And therefore, nobody would wash with this. Even on top of the eye, it's no good. So we don't know which one said this. Either Avu Dushmuel said the first statement about the wine, or he said the second statement, and Levi said the other one. So we're trying to figure out now which one said which. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, it makes good sense to say, Davu de Shmuel, that the father of Shmuel, who the Omer, he was the one that said, Yayin besocha ayin osu. He was the one that said the first statement about the wine, in the eye is no good, but on top of the eye is good. Why? Agav ayin mutter, how did we know that he says on top of the eye is good, midome Shmuel, because we know that his son said, Shor adam pita b'yayin. A person's allowed to dip his bread into wine on Shabbos, and then take that bread dipped in wine, v'nosol gabi ayin b'Shabbos, and put that on his eye on Shabbos. Now, Mestam, if Shmuel said this, the Shmiya le miman. Where did he hear it from? Mestam, he learned it from his father. Lav Shmiya le miyavua. Didn't he hear it from his father? So therefore, clearly, Shmuel is the one that, Avu the Shmuel is the one that said the first statement. Okay, Mor says, who says? L'tamech, according to you, we know Shmuel made the second statement also. Hadim Shmuel, rok tofel, afilo gava ayin osur. Shmuel had also said the second statement, that you're not allowed to put the rok tofel not only in the eye, you can't even put it on top of the eye. Now, again, Mestama, who did Shmuel hear it from? The Shmuel Lemiman. Ilemo, the Shmuel Lemiavua, if you're going to tell me, you heard it from his father. So then Shmuel stated both statements, and Mestama, he stated them both in the name of his father. Then Ela Levi, Velo Chada Omar. So then we're left with Levi not saying either one. So obviously there can't be a proof. So the bottom line is, Elochadu Shmuel Me'avua, one Shmuel heard from his father, Elochadu Shmuel Me'Levi. Levi and Avu and Shmuel were barely pukta. They were chavrusas. So Mestama Shmuel heard not only from his father, but he also heard from Levi. And we don't know which one he heard from which. Lo Yadina, Hemi Avua, Hemi Levi. We don't know which one he heard from his father and which one he heard from Levi. Mara says, Amar Ravuk, Ramah Shmuel, another statement that Ravuk made the name of Shmuel. Shora Odom Kiloron Me'erev Shabbos. Person is allowed to go soak this kiloron. What is this kiloron? So Rashi says it's a foreign language word, luzia, and it's some sort of salve that they would put in the eye for refuah purposes. So you're allowed to soak this, and then the nosin agabienov bishabis. You're allowed to go put it on top of your eyes, not in the eye, because in the eye would be not allowed, but you're allowed to go put it on top of the eye. Rashi says, kivon. Since you have to soak this before Shabbos, so there's no concern about Shlikas Samamonim over here, Ika Kera, it's clearly recognizable. The Lekalamigzer, no reason to make the Xer over here in this situation, because it can't lead to people going and doing the grinding on Shabbos. Therefore, the rabbis didn't make any additional Xer, and you can put this over the eyes on Shabbos. However, Bar Levi, Havikoi Kameh de Marukva, one time, Bar Levi was by the house of Marukva, and Marukva saw Chazya Tavi Mayitzu Pasach. He saw that he was opening and closing his eyes. That was Bar Levi was doing this with this kiloron. And Amalei, Marukva told him, no, Kulei Haivadi Lo Shoras Mar Shmuel. Said, that's going too far. You're not allowed to open and close the eyes. You can put it above the eye, but you can't go put it, open and close your eyes. That's not allowed. That already is too much looking like it's for medicinal purposes. As Rashi says, the Mucha Milsa, it's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. Rashi gives us a little historical background over here, and he says that Mar Ukva was Shchiach Gabi Shmuel because he was the Av Basin of Shmuel, and therefore he was always seeing what Shmuel did. And he said Shmuel never would have allowed that. Mark continues and says Shalach Le Raviana Le Mar Ukva. Raviana sent to Mar Ukva the following shaila: Lishta Lo Mar Mehanoch Kiloron De Mar Shmuel. Can you please give us some of the kiloron that was used by Shmuel? Shmuel again was the master doctor, and therefore he wanted to know. Can you please send us some of his medicines? So Shalach Le, Marukva sent back to this Rav Yanai, and he says, Shadure Mishtarloch, I'd be happy to send it to you. However, the Lo Tema Tzar Ayin, I don't want you to think that I'm a stingy person, that I'm willing to give away Mar Shmuel's medicines. However, you should know, Elohim Mar Shmuel said that there's better things than this medicine. He says, Tova Tifas Sonin Shachwis, it's much better to have a little bit of cold water in the morning, and to wash your hands and feet with hot water on the evening time, that is much better. That's better than all these kilorons. They are going to be somewhat beneficial, but this is much more beneficial. Gemara says, it says the same thing. Amarav Muna, Mishum Rav Yehuda. Rav Muna said the name of Yehuda. Tova tipas tzonei shachwis. You better have a little bit of cold water in the morning. Ruchitzis daim raglaim yarvis. And to wash your hands and feet in the afternoon, mikol kiloron shabalom. Better than all this kiloron, all of these eye salves in the world. This will be better to put this little water in your eyes in the morning and to wash your hands and feet in the evening. That is much better than kiloron. Furthermore, hu haya omer, this Rav Muna said, either on his own or in the name of Yehuda, Yod lo ayin tikotzis. If a person puts his hand to his eyes, so then Rachmana litzlan, his hand is going to be cut off. Now, what are we talking about over here? This is talking about before he does netilas yadayim. Rashi says, Noach lo shetikotzis sheruach ro shore al hayad umesanto. If you put your hand to your eyes, you're going to be blinded. So it's much better if your hand be cut off than you cause yourself to be blind. So again, this is Rashi says, in the morning, kodem shiito yoda, before you wash negovasa, so don't touch your eyes. Better your hand be cut off than to touch your eyes, because your eyes will go blind. Yad l'chotem, likewise, don't touch your nose. Tikotzis, better your hand should be cut off, because it will somehow damage your nose. Yad l'patikotzis, likewise, don't touch your mouth. Better your hand be cut off, because it's going to cause trouble for your mouth. One shouldn't touch any of these orifices, Rashi explains. It would be better that your hand be cut off than touching any of these orifices, because they're going to cause trouble over there. Likewise, Yod La Ozen Tikotzes, you shouldn't touch your ear. Better your hand should be cut off before you wash Negovasa in the morning. Yod La Chasuda Tikotzes. Chasuda, Rashi explains, is Rivda de Kusilta. This is the phlebotomist's implements, the tools of the person who draws the blood. So don't go and touch the place where a blood drawing was done. That's also dangerous if you touch it before you wash Negabaser. Likewise, Yod La'amot, he says, don't touch your gid, don't touch the male organ before you go wash your hands Negabaser. In general, we learn you're never supposed to touch the male organ, but let's say it's a situation where you do have halachic allowance to go and touch the male organ. So then, in that situation, make sure you wash Negabaser first. Likewise, Yod Lefi Tabas, he says, it's better that you shouldn't touch the rectal area where the excrement comes out, the anus, don't touch that area before you wash your hands in Negabaser. Finally, Yod, we turn to the Yomid Aleph, don't touch Legigis Tikotis. It's better not to touch a barrel than to, your hand should be cut off rather than touching the barrel before you wash Negabaser. And this is a barrel, Rashi says, Shematil and Boshecha, that they poured into it beer. Now, why is this so? In all these situations, this ruach ra that's on your hands before you wash Negabaser will somehow ruin either the orifices that we talked about and cause trouble or the beer. The Gemara continues and says, Yod misameya, the reason if you touch your hand to the eye, because you'll become blind if you didn't wash Negabaser. Yod mechareshes, if you touch your ear, it'll become deaf. Yod male polyphos, if you touch your mouth, it's going to cause this polyphos. Polyphos, Rashi explains, some sort of a bad odor that'll come from your mouth or your nose. And the Brisa says, Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Bas Chorin Hizu. Rashi explains that this Bas Chorin is Haruach Hashor Al Yadayim Lefnei Netila, is called Bas Chorin, and it will stay there until Umakatedes, it will be Makbit to stay there, Achshei Yirchol Tziyodav Shalosh Pamim, until you wash your hands in Negavasa three times. Alternatively, first in your right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. That's what we call Negavasa, and this gets rid of this Ruach Ra. Finally, Omer of Yochanan, Puch Mavir Bas Melech. He says, if you do Puch, it also somehow will undo the damage that this Bas Melech did to your eyes. Rashi explains, Puch is Imnosno Be'enav. If you put this Puch into your eyes, it will reverse over here this damage that the Bas Melech did to your eyes. Uposik is a dimmer, it will stop your tears. Umar Beseo Ba'afa Poim. It will also make you have additional hair growing on your eyelids. Where it concludes, it says, Tani Nam Yoch, we have a Bryce in support of Rav Yochanan, said, Rav Yossi Omer, Puch, Mavir Basmelech, this Puch, again, I don't know what this Puch exactly is, Rashi doesn't explain, he just says, you put it in the eye, it gets rid of this Basmelech, Uposik Esadimah, and stops the tears, Umar Basir Bafapoim, and it will grow more hair on your eyelids. This is a good stopping point, with this we conclude today's shir.